So, in the spirit of talking about laughter, we're going to talk about suffering, which is what everybody was hoping for. Best topic. Great.
All about paradoxes.
Exactly. So there was a letter that was written to Dr. Dan Vogel, who was at that time the dean of the Stern College of Women in 1965. This letter was written by the late Gaon Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. And he wrote this letter asking Rav Soloveitchik if Dr. Vogel could quote passages from a talk that the Rav had given. Rav Soloveitchik delivered a lecture to a group of clergy of all different faiths on December 6th, 1961, for the National Institute of Mental Health. And Dr. Vogel asked the Rav if he could quote some passages from this letter. And Rav Soloveitchik says, absolutely. And I'll summarize the gist of this talk for you in one short page, which is very nice because I think the talk that Rav gave was like 3.5 hours. And it's important for us to think about the suggestion that Rav Soloveitchik has when he thinks about this challenging topic, the reality of suffering in the world, because where there are several statements of Chazal, of our sages, that we are likely familiar with or have heard, and maybe some of us have embraced them, but maybe some of us have struggled with them. And with Rav Soloveitchik's approach, maybe we can come up with a new way of grasping or dealing with some of these ideas. The Gemara says in Brachos, in several places, the Gemara in Brachos deals with this question, the question of challenge and suffering and evil. In one context, the Gemara has an idea that everything that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us, obviously, is good. Kol da'avid rachmano letav avid. Everything, unquestionably, it's all good. It gives you the impression when you see something that doesn't look good, it's really good. You just don't see it the right way. And we come across this Gemara in Chazal. The Gemara tells us a story about how Rabbi Akiva was in a very compromised position and everything worked out great. So we think to ourselves, what do we do with this Gemara exactly? Like, not everybody has the outcome of Rabbi Akiva. You know, are we meant by Chazal to see every vicissitude, every calamity as kol da'avad rachmana l'tav avad? Like, is that what we're supposed to, is that what we're expected to say? Maybe. But that's a tall task. That is a tall task. Similarly, the Gemara has an expression, something the Gemara refers to as Yisurin Shel Ahava, suffering of love. That the Ribbono Shel Olam loves a person to the extent that they are the recipient of love, Sheneemar, as the Pasuk says, Ki es asher ye'ahav Hashem yochiach. I don't know. I'm not sure that, you know, obviously, as I've mentioned before in this context, I'm not very wise. I don't have so much life experience. I'm not a big Talmud Chacham. But the people in my world, in my life, that I love, I'm not sure that I would give them Yisurin, suffering. The Gemara talks about tzaddik v'ralo, and there's a tzaddik v'tovlo, and there's this kind of a tzaddik, and that kind of a tzaddik. And you read these Gemaras, and you're like, what am I doing with this? How do I relate to this? So Rav Soloveitchik, when he gave this talk to all of these clergy, he delineated a key distinction that when I learned this piece from Rav Soloveitchik, it helped me think about how to relate to these kinds of Ma'amari Chazal that we've probably all come across in different ways, and maybe some of them resonated, but maybe some of them didn't resonate. Rav Soloveitchik, in this talk, he describes the difference in what he sees as between Naseh and Nishma. It's a very interesting definition, a distinction between Naseh and Nishma. You know, I always assume that Naseh and Nishma means we'll do and then we'll listen, meaning we'll do what we're supposed to do and then we'll hear why it's supposed to be, or why that's the rule or whatever. Rav Soloveitchik, he says it in something much deeper. He says that Naseh is the way that we are meant to go through life, the things that we're supposed to do. Nishma is the philosophical or deeper spiritual underpinning of life. And that these are two totally different realms. And that it's possible to live with both realms at the same time. On the level of Nishma, on this deep spiritual philosophical reality, there are truths. And these truths are profound, they're spiritual, sometimes mystical, and they are emes. They're honest, they are reality. But just because that is the deeper truth and that's what we accept and we know cognitively or intellectually, that doesn't mean that is the realm or the world of Naseh, of how you live. There are many things which are truths about the world. But the halacha, says Rav Soloveitchik, doesn't really spend a whole lot of time worrying about the nishma. The halacha is really interested in the naaseh. So while there may be important, fundamental, and profound spiritual truths that Chazal will sometimes give us, sometimes those are meant to be in the realm of nishma, of an abstract, idealized truth. And it's good to know those things. And for some people, and at some times, we need to think about them. Especially some people are very, very inclined to that type of thinking. I'm not so smart, so I'm not very philosophically inclined. But there are people who want to think about these kinds of things. So you can have philosophical discussions about the problem of evil in the world. And does evil really exist? You know, how could the Ribbono Shel Olam allow evil to exist if Ein Od Milvado, if there's nothing else other than the Ribbono Shel Olam? So how could any vice exist? It's like a philosophical conundrum. So you could say, well, evil is not real. It seems to be evil. It's all this kind of discussion. Rav Soloveitchik says, that's all in the realm of Nishma. But that is not the way that the halacha expects a person to live. We accept those truths. They're emes lamito. But that's not how we are called upon to live. That's not the way we are meant to face the world. When something, Rahman al-Itzlan, calamitous, happens to a person, the person doesn't recite a bracha of Shechianu. A person recites a bracha of Dain HaEmes, that we accept what this is. And then, as people in this room know much better than I do, the halacha doesn't say that a person walks away from saying goodbye to someone that they love and be like, all right, so they're in a better place now, aren't they, huh? You know, I don't know how many of you have ever heard that at a shiva house. I hope I never said that to anyone. Maybe I was like, you've heard interesting things that people say. you know, the halacha says that a person who undergoes such a terrible loss, they recite the bracha of Dayan HaEmes and they rend their clothing. It's monstrous. It's terrible. It's catastrophic. And we don't sell some kind of like stuff to the oval. We don't sit with them and they say, you know, they're better off. It's better. You know, it's really, they were tzaddik, but not so much tzaddik viralo, maybe. Like, that's not the way the halacha approaches a challenge. Halacha doesn't deny evil or suffering or challenges. We don't try to give it some kind of like philosophical terrors and say that everything is fine. Everything is not fine. It's not fine. When a person loses somebody close to them, the halacha demands that they focus their attention on that loss, to lean into it, not to pretend like, oh, everything is fine. No, the person sits there for a whole week and talks about what an unbelievably incalculable loss it is that they experienced. You don't pretend like it's not a problem. It is a problem. It's not okay. There's such an interesting irony that in halacha, imagine somebody has a great uncle somewhere or something. They pass away and they leave the person a humongous, enormous inheritance. So according to the Gemara Brachos, you recite two brachas. You say Dayan HaEmes on the loss of the close relative, and you say Shehechiyanu on the Yerusha. Because the halacha doesn't expect that we're going to live in some kind of like philosophical realm. We live in this world. And in this world, when someone is hurting, it hurts. It hurts. And that is undeniable. And the halacha wants us to face that. So then the halacha says, okay, we're not really interested in the nishma, in the why. You want, we can have a philosophical discussion maybe someday. But we want to talk about naseh. So what do we do in the face of these kinds of challenges? So the halacha gives us guidelines. So Rav Soloveitchik boils it down. He says there are three pillars. The first is that evil does exist and evil is bad. And that when hurtful things happen, we should call it out and not pretend from a halachic standpoint that that's not painful, that it is hard. Right? And this to me is so important because we're not denying all of the Ma'amari Chazal that say this about this Nisayon or that Nisayon. Like, that's all true. It's true, but it's true in the realm of Nishma. It's not true in the realm of Naseh. In the realm of Naseh, it's not okay. What happened was not okay. It was not okay. Vayavo Avram lispod lesarav livkosa. It wasn't okay what happened to him. It wasn't okay. So we have to realize that that's okay to say that it's not okay. And not to feel like, you know, really, if I was a big tzaddik, if I was a big, big tzaddik, I wouldn't be crying. No. No. Vayavo Avram lispo lasarav livkosa. It was a time for him to cry. Second, says Rav Soloveitchik, one must never acquiesce in evil, make peace with it, or condone its existence. So we need to struggle in any way that we can to combat it, to live in a way that reduces it in all the different forms. And third, he talks about is the proposition of faith. That in some way, at some point, the Ribbono Shel Olam will square everything up. And that it'll be fair at some point. And so what Rav Soloveitchik concludes is that the way that a person faces suffering or challenges is what he calls with dignity. It's not so much why this is happening, that's a nishma. No one, who's going to tell you why? You have to be a Navi to know why. And if somebody tries to sell you that they know why, run far away from them. Run far away. That's not... The what is an important question, but Rav Soloveitchik says that what we are called upon, even more than the what, is the how. How does a person conduct themselves? It's the how when they faced with that challenge. A little, some time ago, I had the opportunity to ask for insight from a very wise person. I went to ask this person for insight because some of the things that we have talked about and some of the circumstances that we as a community, as individuals, people that we know have encountered is way beyond my capacity to even process. So I went to ask this person for perspective on these types of questions. So he said something very interesting to me. And it very much fits with exactly this idea. He said, when a person goes through an extreme challenge, he said, the question is not, it's not, why are they going through this challenge? No one's going to be able to tell you why they're going through this challenge. He said, the question when a person is looking for ways to face the challenge, he said, that they would advise, and he said, this doesn't work for everyone, but he said, what he has found in speaking to people who have faced difficult crises is asking them to think about, when, please God, this challenge is over, and they look back at how they dealt with it, will they feel that they dealt with it in a way that they're proud? It was a fascinating way of looking at dealing with challenges. Because only the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to script what the outcome is. He said, we don't know what the outcome of any circumstance, any challenge is. He said, but can a person face a situation and deal with it in a way that when they look back on it later, they feel proud, they feel good about how they dealt with it? And when I recently read this piece in Rav Soloveitchik about dignity, I understood that's exactly what he meant. He meant that the person navigated this terrible challenge in a dignified way. That's in the control of the person. Rav Soloveitchik says, what does it mean to be dignified? It means what he says, what Judaism understands by dignity, it's man's aptitude to commune with God. So the more that a person is embodying the Ribbono Shel Olam's values in the way that they deal with the challenge, they can look back on that. They can be proud of that. They can feel good about that. That's the dignity. That's the halacha. That's how the halacha is going to relate to challenges. A person can become extremely absorbed in the nishma, but it's not usually productive. There was a person in our community whose yahrzeit was today. And around Rosh Hashanah time, he was given a basura lo tova, a very, very difficult basura. So I had the unique privilege of spending time and listening to him. Obviously, I don't have anything to offer. There's nothing to say. What do I know? I don't know anything. But I could be there to listen, to keep someone company. And at the beginning of this process, of this challenge, he would ask why the Ribbono Shel Olam chose him for this, and why did this happen, and why. And then over time, he stopped asking that question, and he started asking what. What am I going to do now? What do I do in this situation? What does the Baal Shem expect of me dealing with this challenge? It shifted from the why question to the what question. And I think that as an outsider, part of what I saw in the heroic way that this person led their life was the way in which they carried themselves, the way that they responded, the how, the dignity, the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam. You know, there are people we know who have modeled for us what this dignity looks like. To face down a challenge from a halachic perspective is to live with dignity, to live with the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam. We've heard people who live this all the time. So to me, Rav Soloveitchik is validating at least my own way of trying to navigate these Ma'amari Chazal. Rav Soloveitchik says all the rationales and the philosophy and the deep spiritual teachings, they're all true. That it's not so much Lamaisa. Doesn't, you know, if it makes you feel better, so you should look at the Gemara, look at the Maharsha, look at the Maharal, look at these themes. But that's not the focus. Dear Dr. Vogel, I received your letter. Of course you may quote me. The gist of my discourse was that Judaism did not approach the problem of evil under speculative metaphysical aspect. Because he says that's futile. Who's going to tell you why the Ribono Shel Olam gave certain things to certain people? Man should not ask why evil. We're allowed to ask that on Tisha B'Av, but how far does it get you? It doesn't get you very far. He should rather raise the question, what am I supposed to do if confronted with evil? How should I behave vis-a-vis evil? The latter is a powerful challenge to man, and it is the duty of man to meet this challenge boldly and courageously. Suffering, in the opinion of Judaism, must not be purposeless, wasted. Out of suffering must emerge the ethical norm, the call for repentance, for self-evaluation. Judaism wants to convert the passional, frustrating experience into an integrating, cleansing, and redeeming factor. Man was summoned to defy evil and try to eliminate it. However, if he fails to temporarily to defeat evil, he must see to it that the confrontation must be a courageous one, heroic, and useful. In a word, instead of philosophizing about the nature of evil within the framework of theodicy, of a theodicy, Judaism wants man to fight it relentlessly and to convert it into a constructive force. Mo'adim l'simcha, sincerely, Joseph Soloveitchik. At different times in life, we're going to be pulled toward Nishma, and there's a place for that. But we have to remember that the halacha is guiding us to focus on the Nasa, on the type of life that we live. This chabura, this gathering, of course, it should be a zchus for all those who need a refuah and a yeshua and to be returned home whole. But it's also, it's such an amazing, uplifting experience for me to think about this idea. The fact that you're here, that's exactly what Rav Soloveitchik is talking about. Because we're choosing to face a challenge with dignity, with the presence of God, with tefillah, with prayer, with davening, with a sense of just spiritual uplift. That's the dignity, that's the heroism that Rav Soloveitchik is talking about. And to walk away from tonight, from this gathering, in addition to the schus of the tefilos, I hope we realize that we are living up to this ideal, and that whenever anybody faces, Rachmana Litzlan, a challenge, and the Ribbono Shel Olam doles out challenges in every shape and size that we accept them for what it is, and we know that on the Nishma level it's Latav, but to realize that we have the capacity to do this, we can live a life of dignity, of halachic dignity, of the presence of God, no matter what the challenge is, no matter how overwhelming or insurmountable it might feel, but we can always choose to live with dignity. We've seen role models for that, what it means to live with dignity in times of challenge. And it's important for us to realize that we can do it. We can do it. So I bless us all that we should hear Besuros Tovos for us, for our families, for all of Klal Yisrael. And these theories, these themes, they should be one day Hilchos Olam Mashicha. We shouldn't have to worry about them. But in the interim, I bless us all that we should feel that palpable sense of dignity that we have. By being here, we're expressing it, but even when we're not here, we have this ability to live with that presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every circumstance. Should be for Simchas. Where's the dog? I was waiting the whole time.